We've been studying the life of Noah. We have looked that Noah lived in very extremely dark times. Depressing times. Distressing times. Discouraging times. Difficult. But yet we find in this Proverbs 4:18, and if you'll go back and look at Galatians 6 and 9, one of the characteristics of Noah, or his character, that is revealed to us in his word, which is, by the way, the character of anyone who has found the grace and favor of God and is walking with God, you'll find this in their characters. It is in our character of those who believe. And it'd be something that we would want to see more and more, because as we just read, and as Noah was, and you read all of the darkness of the evil of the world, how that they were violent, how their thoughts and the imagination of their hearts was wicked continually. The bright spot is this just man who shines out in the midst of darkness, who is one when everyone is forgetting and betraying God. He stands out. He's remarkable. I want to remind you of that. I want to remind you that you are the light of the world. And you are commanded to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may glorify their Father in heaven. In the darkness of our world, it is you, it is us, it is we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at Romans 1 and 17. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Proverbs 4 and 18. I want to pick up just a bit of scripture in Romans. In this Romans 1, we'll also see Paul proclaiming the darkness that is in man, and he describes mankind very much in verses 18 down to the end of the chapter. How that man, when he knew God, didn't want to keep God in his head or in his heart, and he rejected God, and then God ultimately gave him over to the vanity of their own thoughts and minds. That when they were professing how wise they were, but yet they were only revealing how foolish they are. And I want to remind you, it is only the fool who will say in his heart, there is no God. It is very foolish of man to forget the God who created him and not give him the glory that is due to his name. But in verse 17, we find this, and he's speaking of the gospel, him preaching the gospel, and he's saying concerning the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in oneself? Faith in one's ability? Faith in himself that he might can pull himself up by his bootstraps? That all the all the philosophies of the world and the psychiatrists that's in the world will tell you, you need to have more self-esteem. You need to have more self-awareness. You must love yourself. That's the world, and I want to remind you, it is the world's philosophy to have you focus that you can cure yourself if you just have positive emotional thinking. Brethren, we don't live by that. If we're the just, and we need to be asking ourselves, am I just? Am I the just? Am I this light that's in this world? Am I showing through my life there is a greater way to live? There is someone greater to trust in than self. There's someone that you can love and should love that's greater than you, that in your loving Him, it enables you to love others. I've even heard people describe that you need to love yourself more than others. That's not biblical. Let's love ourselves more than we love others. Brethren, God's word calls that is selfishness, stubbornness, covetousness, idolatry, even, to love ourselves. We're to love others more than self. Our lives are to be spent being servants. The world today doesn't like the idea of being servants. We should have others serving us. Think about our needs above others. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Not in himself, but faith in God. We believe in God, the revealed God, who has revealed himself in his creation. We believe in a God who has revealed himself in his word. We believe God reveals himself through this word. And if you don't love the God that has revealed himself in this word and in nature, then you've created a God that is fictitious and you've become an idol worshiper. And you cannot be just and live a life that is like a light shining into the perfect day. Only those who believe God, that God is true and God's word is true. The just shall live by faith. And it is interesting in the context with which it is that then this gospel of Christ that is being preached and set forth by the Apostle Paul is what you should be believing. Those who teach that men can be just before God and not have faith in Christ, brethren, that is a lie, an abomination, and it dishonors God, and it entraps men to think that they can be justified with God outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's an impossibility. See, Noah is an example way back at the beginning of time that is an example for all believers for all times. The just man believes God, and he begins to do, because he believes God, he begins to do what God commands him. How is it with you today? How are you? Do you believe God, and therefore your life and the doings of your life is based upon what you believe? That's what a just man does. He lives a life based on God's word, and he proves it through his activities and what he does. Galatians chapter 3, let's look at this. Galatians chapter 3. Because we have a whole group of people. And I want to remind you, either we believe solely in the work of Jesus Christ for you and I, if we're going to live a life that we can claim to be just people, we must believe in the only means of salvation that has been granted to us by God. Because do you know if you don't believe that? You know if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way? You're not believing God. Because God Himself says He's the only way. If you don't believe Jesus is the only satisfaction for your sins, then you're believing a lie. And you're not believing God. And brethren, if the just is to live a life that's based on faith, how can you be a just man when you don't even believe God? Because what you're doing is saying your thoughts about God, who God is greater than what God says He is. So again, we have this, that there are those who think that no, I can be justified by my good works. If I'm just good enough. And I want to tell you, brethren, that is in all of us. And I'm going to tell you why it's in all of us. Because when we sin, instead of simply confessing it and going to Christ, we begin to bargain with God, or we begin to think, if I just do this and do this and do this, it'll take care of that. Let me tell you, there's no amount of good works that will ever balance your life enough. It can't do it. It will never satisfy God for sins. There is only one thing that will satisfy God for your sins, and that's Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, how many remedies was Noah given? When God said, I'm going to destroy the world, God says, I want you to build me how many arks? One ark. Did He say to build anything else? Did He try some other method? He told Noah, you build an ark. This ark is going to be sufficient not only to save you, but your whole house and all these animals that I'm telling you to save. You're going to have enough provisions, and this ark is going to protect you and all of those animals from the fierceness of my wrath, and I'm going to destroy everything else. Here's the light. Noah believed God. We show the light when we live lives that reveal that we believe what God says. And we don't make compromises. And we don't try something else. Man is not saved by his good works, though the righteous are full of good works. That's not what saves him. And I want to remind you of that. But there are those who think that they could. Paul, before he was converted, he thought he was really honoring God. He thought, hey, I'm going to keep this law. And he tried the best he could, and he didn't realize how many laws he was breaking when he thought he was keeping them all. And then God really made him see what his great need was. So much so that he would write to Timothy, and y'all heard me say it so many times, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he didn't look and say, of whom you're chief. He makes it very personal because he understood, I am chief. So we look at Galatians and it says this, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. And I want to emphasize, because we've been taught very well here through Brother Marvin's teachings on Galatians, that the Galatians and so many so much of the combat that Paul had to deal with is those Jews that were coming in among the Christians and telling them it's a mixture of law and grace. Brethren, it's not. It's all grace. There can be no law in it. It's all grace. When we find in that dark picture there in Galatians, there, and we hear what God is going to do with mankind, we understand that God and the stench of man's sin is so offensive to God that God regrets that He even created man, and His anger and the frustration and all that He has toward man's sin and rebellion against His grace and His mercy and goodness comes up, and God says, I've had enough. I'm going to destroy the world. That's pretty terrible until you read that one thing. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of God. Do you understand that the reason you have a relationship with God and that you shall be saved from the wrath to come, as Noah and his family is owing totally to God's grace? And then I want to ask you, are you living life? Because the next thing it tells us is about the character of Noah. He was a just and perfect man, it tells us. Not perfect in to the sense of absolute perfection that we will be one day. But brethren, he was complete in his whole and his devotions toward God. There was no confusion with him. He understood that he was God's servant and that he was light, and he was willing to live and die by that conviction. Brethren, and what we need among Christians and people in the churches today is people who understand that they totally owe their being to Christ Jesus and that they are willing to live and die by that belief. And they're not willing to make compromises with the world. They understand on whose side or who they belong to. So it's not by the works of the law that men are justified, for none shall be justified by the law in the sight of God. And I love what he says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It is not guessing. It's not thinking. It is evident that is so. For the just, hear it again, and I wanted to get it again. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at this. Verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Let me tell you, one of the evidence of faith in your life is the character of faithfulness, commitment. That's what faith is all about, isn't it? It's commitment. If you're to Sister Lisa, you're married to Sister Lisa, and y'all expect faithfulness in each other, don't you? Which proves commitment, which proves love, which proves devotion. Right? And so God says, no wonder God says, if there's any man that draws back my soul, it's not going to have any pleasure with him. God, and we see the evidence of it, over in Genesis, don't we? We see the world turning away from God as fast as it can go. Hating God. Evil increasing more and more, and more and more, being accepted more and more. The distinguishing between good and evil is getting blanker and blanker. Boy, that's so much in our day, isn't it? Do you realize one of the things of being a just man is that you've got to be able to discern between good and evil? So we find here that God says, now the just, they're going to live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And we see what happened in Noah's day, and we could go throughout the course of history that is revealed in the Bible. And brethren, every time people were called upon to believe in the Lord and they rejected Him, brethren, there were serious consequences as a result of that. Remember when the children of Israel brought out of Egypt? Brethren, they saw such marvelous things. I mean, my goodness. If they were there in slavery and bondage, God says, I've heard your cry. I've heard your prayer. I'm sending Moses to you. He's going to be like a deliverer to you. I'm going to be with him. And he's going to lead you out. And he's going to guide you to a land flowing with milk and honey that I've given you. And I'm going to dwell with you in that land. And so we begin to see the faithfulness of God in keeping His promises. God goes there. And brethren, let me tell you, miracle after miracle happens. Plague after plague fell upon the idolatrous Egyptians while God kept the children of Israel in the land of Goshen protected. None of the plagues that happened to the rest of Israel bothered them. He brings them out. And we know they go to the Red Sea and are camping there, and Pharaoh's chariot comes. And another great miracle happens. When they thought we're in an undefensible position. Have you ever felt like that? You may be unable. You may be backed in a corner. But I want to tell you, the just shall live by faith. They'll believe in God. They'll be like Moses. And brethren, be able to tell others, stand still and see the salvation of God. That's what the just live by. Stand still. Hold on to God. Do you realize that is exactly what Brother Jonathan was telling us about how that God was dealing with them? Here's the one that surrendered themselves in the midst of heartbreak and sorrow over a situation and committed it all to God and trusted God and rested in Him and said, you will be done. Just lead us and guide us. And they went the way that He said to go. That's what we all need to hear all the time. Because the world and all the philosophies and in our own weaknesses and in our own minds and our own struggles of our own flesh and Satan's temptations will tell us that God will not protect and defend us. Noah believed God that He built an ark for 100 and something years. Moses believed God that when he was pushed against that Red Sea, he just said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Lord God parted those seas. They went across on dry land, Brother Dennis. Let me tell you, they didn't get stuck in mud. When they crossed the other side, they didn't have to clean off their shoes because they stepped in mud puddles along the way. They went across on dry land safe. And brethren, they looked back and saw the fury and might of the enemy coming to crush them. And all God did was let go of those waters. And they came in upon them and they sat and they sang that great song of God. Boy, after seeing all that, you would think everything would be great. How could I doubt God again? But, Brendan, do you know there were doubters? Not Joshua and Caleb.
When they got to that land and spies were sent out, 12 of them were sent back. And let me tell you, the just may be outnumbered. I'm going to ask you, was Noah outnumbered? Yeah, 8 to no, my telling how many thousands and thousands that were living at his time. 8 souls, right? Against the majority. Here's Joshua and Caleb. Of those 5, 2 out of 12. That means there was 10, 5 times as many that was against Joshua and Caleb as for them. But brethren, the just live by faith. We trust in God. Brethren, God is a majority. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Doesn't mean that there won't be anybody that will stand. But brethren, their ways won't prosper if God is for us. And how can you doubt that God is for you when He gave His Son to pay the penalty for your sins that you don't have to pay for? He's paid for them in full. Christ is our ark. I want you to know that. He's our dwelling place. We're saved from the wrath of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It'll never touch us. It'll never fall upon us. We're saved. And God has sent His Spirit into us. And we have found grace just like Noah. And our lives are lives that are to prove that we are the just who live by faith, whose light shines into the perfect day. Children of Israel come to this land. They send out the spies and they go in and they see it. And indeed they come back and they say, it is everything that God said it was. But there are giants in the land. How many of you realize there are giants that you have to face every day? Oh, there ought to be more hands than that. There ought to be enough giants in your land that you face every day that come against you, that are strong, that oppose you, that stand in your way, that says there's no use to try. The giants are greater. God can't make anything out of your life. You're too weak, you're too rotten, you're too slow, you're too this or too that. Your past stands against you, and as a result of your past and all the sins of your past, you can have no future or hope. God all the way times tells us that He's forgiven our past. He's taking care of our future. And brethren, there's nothing that can prevent those who are in Christ Jesus from living a life that glorifies Him and being useful. You would have thought the Apostle Paul would have been counseled out. A murderer. And I can say that easily. He was a terrorist. Do you know that Saul of Tarsus was a terrorist? Just like the Muslims. He had hate for Christians just like some of the Muslims do today. But brethren, look what God did. We always are people of hope. That's why that we are not of them who, that we, at verse 39 of this Hebrews 4, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition. And perdition here means to damnation. To reject God is the way of the damned. That's what we're seeing in Noah's day, isn't it? It's no different. God hasn't changed. That's exactly what we see in Noah's day. Those who were rejecting God, what was God going to do? He's going to destroy them. And what is God going to do in the future? There is a coming judgment
When the wrath of God, that God's going to come with flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have those who are among us that want to put that just as a timely judgment. But brethren, I want to tell you, it is not. It is speaking of the dire eternal judgment that is going to come when God is going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." There won't be more dread, final words than when he says, "Depart." So how is it with you? Where are you with God? Are you among the just to believe and follow? Or because you can't be on middle ground. Either you're among the just who are shining, or you're among the damned who are doomed. Here's what it says about us who believe. "But we are not of them that draw back into perdition." I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that my God has such a sufficient hold upon me and upon you that He will not let us go. He won't. "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath afore ordained that we should walk in them." God doesn't give up on His work. You're His work. You're His new creation. He's got a claim upon you. And brethren, He's paid for you with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been engraven in the palms of His hands that Jesus said, declares it. "None shall pluck us from the Father's hand." He's got such a hold upon us that we will not. And that's the hope of people. But you remember, because there's those that are falling away and can fall away forever. They never were among us. They never were believers, because the just shall live by faith. And it says, "But we are not of them who believe unto perdition, but we are of them that believe into the" what? "Saving of the soul." Do you believe that today? Are you one who believes in the saving of the soul? Do you believe that God will keep you and preserve you and save you to the uttermost, and that one day, in spite of your own weakness, your own failings, in spite of Satan's onslaught, in spite of everything, one day you're going to stand before God without sin, without spot, holy, unblameable before Him in love? Do you believe that? Do you believe God will sustain you through death, through cancers, through everything that you might go through? Well, what has that got to do with Noah? Well, brethren, don't you realize that when God said, "I'm going to destroy the world and you're to build this ark," Noah had to believe that very thing. Noah had to believe unto the saving of the soul. He had to be there. He had to build that ark. He had to do what God said. Because he knew and believed that God was going to save him and his household, just as he said. How about you? That's why we serve him, isn't it? That's why we're waiting for his coming, isn't it? That's why we're trying to live lives that honor him, isn't it? That's why we're teaching our children the ways of the Lord in hopes that God would save our own children and deliver them from the world, and we're praying that God would bless them to know Him, and not only our children, but our grandchildren, our grandchildren's children, and on that we're praying for. I want to remind you, the life of the just, part of it is that they believe that God is going to save us. God is saving us, my dear brothers and sisters. Many of you could give testimony of the sweet and tender mercies of God towards you. You could say with the writer John Newton, and we all know this one, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Have you been through some that has tried your heart, that's broken your spirit, that's knocked you flat on your face, that's broken your heart, that you've been to the place wondering, why is this happening to me? Why has this befallen me? Why am I here? Why me? Why me? Have you ever been there? Oh, let me tell you, child of God, the greatness of God's grace, that God will even let you cry out, why? And still love you and care for you. It is never, God has never rejected our questioning Him. That doesn't grieve Him. What grieves Him is when we don't trust or follow. Well, we should never ask that about God. Are you greater than Jesus Christ who hung upon the cross? Did he lack faith? But brethren, when he was hanging upon the cross, he spoke out the hurt and bewilderment of every one of us when life's struggles become so anxious. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If any of you read that psalm, it starts out in such heartfelt grief and sorrow, but it ends up in great triumph at the end, because there was a change that came place as he began to meditate upon all that's happened to him. He comes out, but my hope is still in thee. That's the just. We're not of them that brought back to damnation, but we are them that believe to the saving of the soul. Our God will deliver us. Do you realize that Noah had to keep that alive as he built that ark? Can you imagine that? Think about it. Think about it just for a while. We'll get back to that. Noah had to build that ark. Hebrews 11:7. By faith. What has this got to do with Noah? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Fear in this sense is reverence and awe of God. Brethren, when we truly revere God, there is that within us that wants to surrender and do what God said. Is that with you? Ultimately, when decisions are made and right and wrong, and you're confronted with right and wrong, ultimately God brings to this, even though you may resist and be stubborn, ultimately God brings His children to yield to where we sing that song and we mean it. Thy way not mine, O Lord, however rough it be. That's not just lip service. I hope. Not in my life or yours. I hope it's not. Here we find Noah. It says, by Noah moved with fear, respect, honor for God. You cannot truly be this just man without a reverence for the God who owns you, who gave His Son for you. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of His house, by the which He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Your faithfulness
girls, listen to me. Your faithfulness, even though you don't attack anybody or anything, your faithfulness condemns the unfaithfulness of this world.
Every one of you. So the world may think it's big and you may not think it. I want to remind you, your faithfulness condemns the unfaithful world. That's what Noah's life did. Can you imagine him as he was 100 years going about building the ark? You know, there hadn't been floods. There hadn't been, as far as we know, any mentions of rain. God had always watered the earth with the dew that came up out of the ground. And even if it had rained, it probably hadn't rained even as much as what we've got that's flooded so many areas. We just have a little bit of flood and look at the... I mean, it's a news story. Do you realize there's been about 10 people who have died as a result of flooding? There's no telling how many thousands died here. Can you imagine, though, as Noah's building an ark and people were around about? Noah, what you doing? I'm building an ark. An ark? What's an ark? Oh, it's the same that God has told me to build, and it's to the saving of my house, because God's going to send a flood to destroy the world. What do you think people said? Do you think they begin to scratch their head? I might ought to think about my life. Noah, you got room for me? Do you realize how many few people are really interested in your testimony? Think about it. We're to give a testimony. We're to be ready to give an answer because God can use us. But I want to ask you, brethren, how many people really are interested in your testimony? This is a question because sometimes people say, because a lot of people don't hear me, I won't give one. It doesn't matter. I want to tell you, there weren't very many people, there probably wasn't anybody outside of Noah's family that was listening to what Noah said. As a matter of fact, if you will go with me, I want you to look what the world thinks about the God's people. I'm going to find it. Job 12. Job chapter 12. What does the world and those who know not God think of God's people? People who are truly just. Job chapter 12 will tell us. Look at this. I am as one, here's what it is. I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God and he answers him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. Can you see that being done to Noah? As he's building up this ark, God's going to destroy everything. And in my house, we're going to be saved. I'm preparing it as God commanded. Noah was the preacher of righteousness. Noah was one who warned men of the wrath of God that was to come. Noah, in spite of the difficulty and how long it took, 100 and some years to do, to finish, to accomplish, and all that time he had to listen to the jeers and the laughter and the mocking of those around him for what he was doing. Do you realize that's what the world and the news media and Hollywood and everybody does to Christians today? You're somebody to laugh at. They hate our influence in the world. They hate our lifestyle and our insistence upon a life that honors God, because they want to live abominable lives that dishonors God and force all of us to accept it as being good. And they laugh and mock at us when we say no. But I want to remind you of this, that the just upright man is laughed to scorn. Go with me to Psalm 37. Not only are we scorned, but look at this. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. That's how the wicked thinks about you. And let me tell you, if you're listening to any of the news today, there are plenty of plots against the just. There are plenty of plots against the just. Even in our own nation. In the world today. And I want to remind you, the just man, the greatest, the most glorious just man that ever lived was Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you, did he ever hurt anybody? Is there a story about Christ ever hurting anyone? No. He hurt, but not, yes, I understand he chastised them and drove out the money changers, but not in the sense of real scarring, hurting thing. That may have embarrassed them. It may have humiliated them, which they rightly deserved it. But I'm talking about malicious, harming, plotting to do true, permanent harm. Every word he spoke was a word of truth. Everything he did was out of the motive of kindness and compassion. Even when he was tired and weary, he still had compassion for the multitudes to see about them. He never called upon his servants to take up arms. And I want to remind all of us this. God does not call upon his believers to take upon arms of men to defend his calls. That was called into question by Pilate. And Jesus said, listen, if my kingdom was of this world, then I would ask my servants to take up arms and they would deliver me. But my kingdom is not of this world, and I want to ask you, what need have people who believe in an everlasting kingdom that is going to come and an everlasting king need to take up arms just to maintain our buildings or our rights? Brethren, we're free men, and nothing that men can do can keep us from being other than free men in Jesus Christ. Paul even warned those who were slaves, told those who were slaves that they were free and to render their masters good servants. So I want to ask you, what's your spirit? Do you believe more in your weapons of carnality to fight your battles, or the spiritual weapons of prayer and being light? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith in the way of the Master. Noah set the principle here. God says he's going to destroy the world. He's provided only one remedy. I'm going to believe in that remedy. I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to hold to what God said. No matter how much men laugh, mock, and ridicule me, I am going to be true. He's a hero that we can look up to. You want to talk about somebody that's a hero? Noah was. He stood in his day and time against evil and did God's will and spoke God's will and was a preacher of righteousness. And brethren, listen, he has a right to be in the book of faith in Hebrews 11. I'm going to ask, if the scriptures was written in our day and time, where would your name be found? Would your name be found in the list of the righteous that the people would write and the apostles would write for the future generations? Think about it. Because the just is going to live by faith. We're going to shine more and more to the perfect day. That's what I want. I want. That's what you should want. I want my life to be spent that when I come to the end of my way, I go out in a blaze of glory because I've been letting my life shine so bright that, brethren, I just finally just go into something better because my body can't hold any more light than what it. I need to be perfected. I need to be changed. Is that what you want? Then let me tell you, hold on your way. Remember Noah of old. Remember the opposition that he had. Remember that. Remember that the world will laugh at you. Remember that. Remember the world will laugh. Remember the world will mock. But brethren, you see the end. You see what's coming ahead. They don't. They don't see what lies ahead. But God has given you sight. He's given you light. Walk in it. I want to read one more. And that deals with how do you speak to one another? What are you saying? What is coming out of your mouth? Do you know that what comes out of my mouth reveals what's in our heart? And it says something about the tongue of the just. And I want to ask you about your tongue. My tongue. Is your tongue like this? The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Verse 30. And 31. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. And verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. So how is it with you? Is your mouth like silver? You know, a silver pot is a pretty nice thing to own, isn't it, Leslie? But have you got a tongue that's like a sewer? Think about it. Have you got a gutter mouth? Have you got a mouth that this is what my mama told me one time because I'm kind of like Nathan was with Jeremy and Aaron, you know. We thought we were really big time one time, Buttons and I was out in our backyard, and we thought we were really saying the nastiest thing we could think of. They really weren't, but we thought they were. I mean, it wasn't that we knew a whole lot of bad words, you know. But, you know, we were calling each other you snot and you this and that. And so we really thought we were just setting forth bad words. But I can remember I did know one word
that I had read on the bathroom wall at school. So I let it come out. And it just happened that Mom came by when I let it out. I'll never forget her taking me, Brother Dennis, into my room and looking at me. And she said, "You've got something in your mouth that I wouldn't even hold in my hand." Now think about it. I'd seen my mama catch my vomit when I threw up when I was little. My mama had cleaned me up when I had diarrhea as a little kid. I saw my mama put her hands in a, back in those days, ladies, instead of having to throw away diapers, you had to wash your diapers and you had a pail. And I saw my mama have to reach into the smelly, stinking pail. I've seen my mama touch some pretty nasty things. That really hit me. That my mama thought I had something in my mouth that was worse than anything she'd picked up. Well, my mouth did get washed out with soap. And yes, they used to really do that. And yes, it is nasty. But yes, it does work. It helps you to remember. So I want to ask you, have you got a gutter mouth? Can you speak sweet words while you're at church, but then when you get out in the world, you let the expletives go? I want to remind you that the mouth of the just is to be like silver. It should be worth something. That's what it said. The foul languages, the cursed jokes, they're not worth anything. But condemnation. Think about it. It is for the foul language that drove the nails into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the foul language that drove the nails there. It's for your foul language that He would cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And truly, if we're going to be the just, we need to drive it out of our mouths so that our mouths will only speak that which is worth something, like being a silver cup. And if we're truly the just, that's what's going to happen. Do you realize how important that would be for Noah to have a mouth in the times that he was, when men would come and mock and laugh at him for building the ark, and he hold true? It didn't matter what man thought or what man laughed. It matters, brethren, and I'm going to ask you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you or says what should be. What matters is what God says and what God thinks about you, because it is God who ultimately has the say of whether you live with Him or whether you hear the words, depart. Depart, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you.